Hey friends, welcome back to Mavericks and Misfits. I hope you are doing well in the grace of the Lord. I hope that you are experiencing the joy of the Holy Spirit. And I hope that in everything that's going on in your life right now, you are sensing the overarching grace and love and kindness of God toward you, even if your circumstances challenge your ability to receive that. I've learned, and I think you have too, that some seasons require us to believe more strongly than we feel. In those days where you feel more strongly than you believe, it usually doesn't work out that great, and our circumstances are often pressurized enough to where we are challenged. How will we respond? Will we draw our conclusions about life and seasons we're in based on how we feel, or based on what we believe? And of course, I'm assuming that as a follower of Jesus, you believe what the scripture says, what God says, what revelation of the Holy Spirit gives you through the Word of God. And I hope no matter if you are on the mountaintop or if the mountain is crumbling on top of you, I've been in both seasons, and I just pray that you're more aware of His grace than you are anything else. Spent some time recently with a man who's life and testimony and ministry I'm beginning to admire more and more often. I'll not call his name. He'd be embarrassed if I did, but I haven't known him very long, but our ministry paths have crossed a few times, and I got to spend a little bit of time with him a few weeks ago. And as we talk about life and ministry, he's just a rare guy. He's got an incredible anointing, just amazing gifting. He carries a heart of humility like very few that I know of that are at his level in ministry. He, even when it comes to furthering the ministry that God has given him, which, by the way, is the ministry that also supports him and his family, he is living by faith. He recently walked away from a different type of ministry that had a steady weekly paycheck to enter into kind of an Abrahamic calling to go forth and trust the Lord for everything he needs. And this is one of those rare guys who just won't discuss compensation when he comes and ministers to a group of people. He's just like, pray and let the Lord tell you what to do. If you want to do anything, just let the Lord tell you. And that's very rare, by the way. One of the things that I noted as I've spent some time with him over the last year or so, is that there's no ambition on him. Now, let me say that again. There's no ambition on him. Doesn't mean he's a slacker. Doesn't mean that he's lazy. Doesn't mean that he's not zealous. When I'm talking about ambition, I'm talking about this aspect of modern Christianity that doesn't even slow down anymore to do a heart check, to discern, am I being motivated in any way by selfish ambition? And as I spent time with this man, it was clear to me that there isn't any. He's not about his name. He's not about his gift. He's not about what he needs to get done. He's not about his vision, his calling, his following, and the impact he needs to make, the legacy he needs to leave with you know, when he's gone from earth. He's just all about Jesus, and there's such a rest on him that it causes me just to do what I think we should all do. When you're around somebody that carries something that God is making note of, God's revealing something to you through another person, you should slow down and say, Lord, what is it that you're trying to say? How can I grow in this area that you're spotlighting to me in another person's life? And is there anything that needs correction in my own life? Now, the younger you are, and I don't want to be overly generalized, but the younger you are, the more susceptible you are to this temptation to live and minister with personal ambition. And the older you get, life tends, and life, and especially for you people that are in ministry, vocationally or aspire to be vocationally in ministry, the ambition has to get pounded out of you. The Lord, listen, he's kind, he's generous, he's gracious, he's merciful, he's extremely patient and loving, but he will not share his glory with anybody. He doesn't even want you getting 5% of it. He wants to bless you, he wants to prosper you, he wants to use you, he wants to grow you, he wants to pour you out, but he does not want to share any of his glory with you. And so the Lord is very committed to not allowing us to live unopposed with any selfish ambition in our heart. And so I thought about that as I was actually riding in today early in the morning. I woke up at about 4 o'clock this morning, just stirred, and I drove the hour from my home to the church office, and it was raining, and I was just listening to the scriptures on my Bible app, and I was in the book of John, and something leapt off the page that reminded me of what the Lord was showing me in this man that I mentioned earlier. John the Baptist is an incredibly interesting study, biographical study in Scripture. He is mentioned prophetically in the Old Testament. He's the forerunner that would come before Messiah. He flashes onto the scene after 400 years of silence, prophetic silence in Israel. In between the book of Malachi and the opening up of the Gospels, there was no recorded prophetic word. These years are often referred to as the silent years, close to 400 years where there's no written prophetic revelation from God to the prophets of Israel. And then John the Baptist burst onto the scene, declaring, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is coming. The kingdom of God is at hand. Messiah is soon to appear." And then when Jesus does appear, John had taken the region by storm. He was a strange man. He lived very meager, in a very meager lifestyle. No fancy foods, no fancy clothes, no fancy ministry. He's the voice crying out in the wilderness. They asked him, they said, "Who are you? Are you the Messiah?" He's like, "No, I'm not the Messiah." "Well, who are you? Are you, you know, one of the prophets raised?" "No, not those guys either." "Well, tell us who you are. We got to give some answers to people." He said, "I am a voice." That's what John the Baptist said. John the Baptist said, "I am a voice. That's who I am. I'm a voice crying out in the wilderness to prepare the way of our Lord." And so crowds came. People were astonished at his message. He preached hard. And ultimately, some people came to him and they were sensing the new wine being poured out. People had a hard time receiving the new wine, the Hebrews did, that God was instigating massive change in Israel. And so they had a lot of questions, and they came to John about purification rites and cleansings and baptisms. And ultimately, some of John's own followers came along with some religious leaders, and they asked John the question, "Hey, this one named Jesus, the one that you baptized, did you know that he's baptizing?" Of course, that Jesus really wasn't, his disciples were, but that what they were seeing is the crowd was shifting. They actually said this in the book of John in chapter number 3. They were jealous for their leader's glory, John's glory. And so some of his disciples came and they said, "Hey, the one that you bore witness about, all the people are now going to him." All right, just stop there for a second. This is so human. Like, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was beginning to minister, preaching, healing, doing natural miracles, like supernatural miracles in the natural order, turning water into wine and all this. And people were beginning to flock to Jesus, which means John's crowds were getting smaller. And so those who had become ardent students and disciples of John the Baptist were a little jealous for John's glory, because now everybody's going after Jesus and following him. And so they came to John and they're like, "Hey, we got a problem here. Everybody's going after that one you baptized." And John's response leapt into my spirit this morning when I was listening to it on the way in. John made a statement that we need to get. You need to hear me on this. Every single one of us needs to get this. It's a foundational element for all Christian living and ministry, especially ministry, especially 21st century ministry. especially 21st century ministry that is heavily influenced by social media paradigms, where there are followers and likes and shares and subscribers. You need to hear this, okay? So let me tell you what you need to hear. So they come and they say, hey, look, everybody's going after Jesus. And John makes this foundational statement. He says, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven. John's answer was, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. And then he goes on to supplement that statement by reminding them, I told you and have been telling you, I'm not the Christ. I'm the voice crying in the wilderness to go ahead to prepare the place for where Christ will come. And then he gives this bridal paradigm kind of phrase. He says, it's the one who gets the bride that is the bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom. The bride, the church, belongs to him. He says, I'm the friend of the bridegroom. I stand and hear him, and I rejoice greatly at his voice. And then John says, because of that, my joy is full. And that's when he said, Jesus must increase. I must decrease. All right, let's go there. Let's do a spiritual check. These are huge principles. Some of you are zealous, and I hope you'll remain that way. Some of you are gifted. I pray that your gifts will always be used in humility, love, and glory for God. Some of you have a calling on your life in the sense of you know what God has called you to do. And the temptation for all of us is to not keep an eye on our zeal to ensure that it hasn't become personal, self-centered ambition. Listen, I want to live zealously. I'm always believing there's more. I'm always believing that God is offering more. I'm always believing that there's more available. I'm always believing that his glory is worthy of me laying down more. Believing for more, trusting for more. I love new opportunities. I pray for open doors. I'm constantly scouring the people that God places in front of me to see who might have a certain touch on their life that needs help, that we can help them step into their calling and their purpose. And then when those callings and purposes and people have been identified, how can we help them walk in maturity and avoid some of the landmines that I stepped on as a younger minister without a whole lot of oversight and help from more mature and wiser, people in the kingdom. And I want to cultivate zeal in my own life and in the lives of others. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm seeing this rampant, and it's not just young people. I'm seeing it in people in their 40s and 50s and 60s. I'm seeing this demand and desire to be heard, validated, accepted, confirmed, promoted, permitted. And there is this radical, rancid presumption of entitlement that I have a voice, I must be heard, and it is driving people. And some people are so frustrated, discouraged, even bitter or angry, because what they want to do for the Lord and their gift that they have been given is not being used like they think it should be used, and the doors aren't opening and nobody's promoting me, and how come this person in leadership isn't giving me this platform? And time out, blow a whistle, hold the show. Go back to what John the Baptizer said. He said, nobody can receive even one thing except it be given to them from the Lord. Now listen, it's in the context of ministry. John, your ministry seems to be shrinking, and that one you baptized named Jesus, his ministry is growing and everybody's going to him. John, what are we going to do about this? And John says, oh, you don't understand. What I have received from the Lord, I am stewarding. But I am not going out to compete. I am not going out to clamor. I'm not going to try to climb a ladder. I am not going to try to get my own. I'm not going to try to cultivate an audience for me. It is not about my calling. It is not about my gift. It is not about my growing numbers in the audience, the people that are coming out to hear me. Hey, listen, if you think about it from a human standpoint, John's ministry peaked quickly. I mean, we're not positive how long he ministered, but it doesn't look like he ministered publicly more than a year. Some people think less than that, before Jesus came and was baptized of him. And as soon as Jesus was baptized and came out of the wilderness and began ministering, John's ministry began to fade. And people were like, hey, man, that ain't right. You're the man. You're the one. You were stirring it up, man. God's using you. And John's like, yeah, God is using me. And I want to keep it that way. Therefore, I'm not going to promote myself. Therefore, I'm not going to demand that I be honored. Therefore, I'm not going to try to get my name out there and make sure that I'm still in the forefront. So in essence, John the Baptizer got out of the way so Jesus could be in the spotlight. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you this, my Christian friend. That call is on your life. Yep, you've got to be proactive. You've got to be engaged. You've got to be disciplined. You've got to be intentional. You do have gifts. If you're saved, you have gifts that God wants to use because we're all ministers of the gospel. We may not all be vocational ministers. We may not all have a platform ministry, but we are all gifted. If any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of Christ. And if you have the Spirit of Christ, then you're going to have the Holy Spirit gifts. You're going to have equipping, enablements, endowments for ministry. And some of you are very aware of what those are, and God has spoken to you, been very specific, said, this is what you're going to do. This is the pathway I'm placing you upon. And what you've got to do is you've got to be aware of a few things, one of which is very, very few Christians have mega ministries. Very few. And of those that do receive open doors to walk in mega ministries, very few of them finish well. I said it. There's something about the allure and the ambition of mega ministry Christianity that crushes people who started out well. And the reason why God the Father, in all of his wisdom, does not typically promote people at a rapid pace is because they can't handle it. If your anointing is stronger than your character, if your gifting is more prominent than your integrity, you'll be crushed. And it'll bring reproach upon the name of Jesus. So what the Lord typically does, and I pray that if you're in your teens and 20s and you're listening to this, you need to hear this. Just hear a little bit from a little bit of an older guy who started out with thunder and fire and zeal, but not a lot of wisdom. You know, that's going back 30 years ago. I was called to preach in December of this year. It'll be 30 years ago. And began preaching immediately and had tons of zeal. And I promise you, not all of that zeal was holy zeal. Some of it was ambition. Some of it was a desire to be heard. Some of it was I did have things to say that I didn't think were being said. And I really, frankly, wanted some people to get out of my way so I could, you know, speak for a little bit. It wasn't that I had something to say so much as I had to say something. That's ambition. Ambition doesn't wait on the Lord. And so you need to be aware that God will lead you in this thing called patience. He must cultivate a dependence upon him and his timing in your heart. And so if your ambition is, man, I got to be heard. I got to be heard. I got a gift. I got a prophetic word. I got a calling. That's the big one. I got a calling. What about my calling? Well, your calling begins. I mean, listen, I had my calling on December 14th. 1994, I had my calling. I was called on a Wednesday night service, radically shaken to the core, wept, just shaken. I was barely saved. I'd only been saved 4 months, and I knew I was called. And God did not release me into the fullness of that calling for many years. The calling was there, but the preparation was what I didn't understand. And so there was a ton of waiting, a ton of humility, a ton of submitting, a ton of serving in another man's field where I had my own calling. I had my own anointing. I had my own gifting. And God said, yeah, I'm not going to let you use it like you want to use it yet. I'm going to teach you how to serve. I'm going to teach you how to wait. I'm going to teach you how to be humble. I'm going to teach you how to be patient. I love you, Jeff. I can't turn you loose in something that you don't have the structure to handle. John the Baptizer says, the only valid things that comprise our Christian life and ministry are the things that God gives us, not the things we go and get, the things we receive from God. So I'll be very blunt here. You can go out and create a bunch of stuff for you. It'll impress most people. People will think, wow, she's got the touch of God on her. Man, that dude has the touch of God. Maybe. Or maybe they figured out how to do social media marketing. Maybe they're good with cameras. Maybe they got a great graphics person on their team. Maybe they found the right royalty-free stock music to layer behind their videos to create the illusion of an anointed moment when all it is really is just great technology and some words. Maybe, maybe not. What I'm saying is this. If you are framing up your understanding about what calling, anointing, ministry, serving God, being a faithful servant of the Lord, if you're framing that up by watching a handful of very polished mega ministries online, on video, YouTube, Facebook, Insta, TikTok, then you're going to be chasing something that's not real for you. It doesn't mean that there aren't mega ministries, whatever that means to you. You kind of know what I'm talking about. It doesn't mean that there aren't some that are real. What I'm saying is that if it's of the Lord, he will give it to you as he knows in wisdom and love that you can handle. And if you are impatient, you won't wait on the Lord for that. You'll live with an entitled spirit that demands an ability to use your gift, your calling, to get your time for your voice and your message to be heard by those who need what you have to offer. That's ambition. And God does not anoint personal ambition. Selfless zeal for his glory, he'll anoint that every day. Personal ambition to get your voice out there, that is a spiritual no-no. And it's happening all over the place, primarily because if you are in your 20s and maybe up to mid-30s, the majority of your Christian life has been brought to you through social media or media in general. And so you have a tendency. This is not everybody, but this is a lot of people, a lot of Gen Z, a lot of young millennials. You're going to have a tendency to measure ministry value by what you have been imparted through social media. And all that stuff's edited, and all that stuff's polished, and all that stuff's condensed into bite-sized chunks. And what you don't see is, and even for those that are mega or doing it well and doing it right before the Lord, you don't see the price they paid behind the scenes. Most of us that have any kind of platform whatsoever, we don't talk enough about the cost that had to be paid in order to get us to those breakthrough moments where we had both the character and the anointing for God to release us forward. We don't talk enough about it. It's just like we present the finished product and people see the finished product and say, I want that. I deserve that. I need that. I can do that. And we need to pull back the curtain and say, okay, you may have that anointing. You may have that touch. You may have that calling or something greater, but I need to pull back the curtain, invite you behind the curtain, and you're going to watch years of patient waiting through seemingly nothingness. You're going to watch being humbled. You're going to watch getting shot blocked by people that had less character than you. You're going to have to hear, behind the curtain, you're going to have to hear all the slander, all the accusation, all the misunderstandings, all the misrepresentations. You're going to have to visit the fastings, the prayings, and not the weeks of waiting, the years of waiting. Everybody that we admire in Scripture waited a long time. Abraham, he had to wait. Moses had to wait. Moses was 80 when he got his calling. Abraham was 75. King David got anointed as a teenager, did not take the full throne until he was 40 years old. That's a long, long wait. And so when we're thinking about these kinds of things, guys, we got to put to death selfish ambition in us. We've got to realize that anything that we have in kingdom terms, really anything we have in life, has been given to us by God. John the Baptist said, you can't receive even one thing. And what he's saying there is, you can't receive one valid, spiritually holy, good thing unless it's given to you from God. The Apostle James wrote that. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father. I mean, these are principles that have been lost. But here's another one. Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. He said, what makes you different from anyone else? Paul asked that question. What makes you? He actually said, for who makes you different than anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? I love that verse. I'll reference that verse regularly. Paul says, hey, super gifted Christian girl. Hey, mighty titan of anointing man. Hey, child of God, why do you think you deserve a position? Why do you think you deserve a platform? Why do you think your gift is most important? What do you have that you did not receive? And since you received it from God, why do you have a boastful, arrogant, ambitious attitude about you as if you didn't receive it? Some of y'all are cringing right now. You're like, ow, man. The Bible, listen, man, the root word of disciple is discipline. It's the same root word for both of those terms we use. And we need to be spanked from time to time, man. We need to be challenged from time to time. I mean, the Bible literally looks at us in 1 Corinthians 4, 7 and says, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are with all your gifting, all your calling, all your anointing? And in essence, what Paul is saying there is he's saying, you're strutting around entitled, feeling like you deserve something. Don't you know that if God had not given you what you're so presently proud about, that you would have nothing at all? So the humility is key. Humility. May God promote you no further than your character and humility can handle. Pray that for yourself. I have. I prayed it for years. It's probably why I spent a lot of years just kind of feeling like stagnated and stuck on a shelf. It's because somebody much wiser than me, I read it in a book 25 years ago. I read it in a book. I don't even know the book. I just remember it was in a book. I think it was by Charles Swindoll. And it was basically this, an exhortation to pray that God would never use you above what your character could handle. If you're so anointing hungry, results hungry, audience starved, getting your name out there, getting your platform known, getting all the right green rooms and conferences, that's straight from the pit of hell. You need to repent. You need to recognize that is a toxic, cancerous lesion in your soul, and you need to get it out. It would be better for you to have a John the Baptist. Now think about this. We're talking about John the Baptizer. 2,000 years after he lived, and his ministry flamed up out of nowhere for a very short time. And then he said, now it's time for me to get out of the way. That's uncommon, but it's wholly necessary. So guys, will you stay committed with me for us to kill our ambition? When you sniff it out in somebody else, you just, if the Lord tells you to confront that person, be obedient. But more than likely, the Lord's going to say, mark that person and watch what happens with them. A lot of people thrive spiritually in obscurity and then die profoundly in notoriety. And everybody's so stinking notoriety hungry in our day that we just need a wide-scale repentance. I think I'm going to preach this in a platform, man. I think I'm going to go ahead and preach this somewhere. I don't know. God, open up my eyes. Show me where I can preach this, because I'm glad for the podcast. I hope it helps you. But man, this kind of message and teaching, not because I'm preaching it, but because it's rooted in the Word, this we've got to rescue ourselves, guys. We've got to rescue ourselves. I want to help you that are in your 20s and 30s and even your 40s that are getting restless because your big moment hasn't come. What if it never comes? What if your big moment is a figment of your entitled imagination? What if God is trying to train you to be faithful and have a powerful influence among a small group of people? Quit looking at the very tiny percentage of ministers that have mega ministries. Stop it. And if you're hungry for that, get into Psalm 51 and ask the Lord to search your heart and see if there be any wicked way in you. I believe you can make a powerful difference, powerful, among a group of people that is concentrated and smaller in number. And I hope that you'll regard that and say, Lord, if I can receive that from you, that would be such an honor and blessing to be able to serve you and make a difference among a small group of people over a long period of time. It's time that we start thinking more about going deep and long than we do about going high and fast. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, help us with our ambition. Help me if I've got any in me, Lord. I know you'll pulverize it. But I pray, Lord, for those that have never considered these things before today. I ask you, God, to deal with them, to let them know there's a better way, to draw them into the beauty of humility and patience. And I pray you'll continue to anoint their gifts, but never above their character. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, friends, we'll talk to you next time on Mavericks and Misfits.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Mavericks and Misfits. If you were helped by what Jeff shared today, please take a moment to rate and review Mavericks and Misfits with Jeff Lyle on iTunes or Spotify. Your review helps us enlarge our digital footprint to reach more potential listeners every week. Also, please take advantage of the free written and video resources made available at transformingtruth.org. Join us again every Tuesday for a brand new episode of Mavericks and Misfits.